Very good. Now, I'd like to turn in our Bibles again, this time to the book of Acts, which in the New Testament, it goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the book of Acts. So we'll take some time to find Acts chapter 13, beginning at verse number 28. What we've been hearing is essential to understand, or at least to consider, when it comes to the gospel. And that is our sin, our personal sin against God. If you're in the book of Acts chapter 13, we begin at verse 28. This is a gospel message that a preacher was preaching one day. And he's talking about the Lord Jesus. When he's talking about the Lord Jesus, he says, "And though they found no cause of death in him," that is, he had no sin, "yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain or killed. So, and when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher." Now, to understand what's being said here before we move on, they took the Lord Jesus and they nailed him on a cross. When we talk about the cross, we need to remember that the cross is not just a symbol. It's not just a chain that you wear around your neck. And it's not just a symbol on the front of a religious building. It's actually the place where they nailed the Lord Jesus through his hands and feet to die. So there he was on the cross, and he voluntarily gave his life, and then they took him down from the tree. They took him down from the cross, and they put him in a grave. That's where we're at here now. Verse number 30. Now remember, he's died. He's now in the grave, dead. Verse 30. "But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who were his witnesses unto the people." Now, verse 38, down just a little further, verse 38. The preacher continues and says this, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your day, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." Now let's read verse 38 again. Just turn back with me to that one. "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." I could stand up here tonight and I could preach to you from the Bible about the sin of the world, because the Bible speaks of the sin of the world. In John chapter 1, John the Baptist is looking at the Lord Jesus and he points everyone to him. If we were there that day, we would see a man looking and pointing and saying, "Behold, look, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." And everyone who heard that would know what he meant. He would know the world. My, the entire world. He is able to take the sin of the entire world. Not just, of course, now the trees and the mountains, and not the soil and the ocean, but the people of the world. That's what he's saying. He's saying there's a man, and he takes away the sin of the entire world. In those days, they were strictly religious when it came to their Jewish heritage. Those Jewish people who were watching the Lord Jesus come to them were thinking that he was just coming for them alone. But John the Baptist wants to remind them that the Lord Jesus didn't just come for Jewish people, but thank God he did. And the Lord Jesus didn't just come for Palestinian people, but thank God he did. And the Lord Jesus didn't just come for the Greeks, and he didn't just come for the Europeans, and he didn't just come for the North Americans, and he didn't just come for the Asians. He came for the whole world. That's what we've been hearing, isn't it? That he came into the world not to save a certain culture, not to save a certain heritage or language or race. He came into the world to save sinners. Sinners. And that's what he's talking about when he says the sins of the whole world. That's why everybody tonight can have their sins forgiven. Why? Because he came into the world to take away sin. But if I talk to you about the sin of the world, you might start to think about the sins of someone else, right? You read the news and you can find out about the sin of the world, can't you? You find out about all the people who are being murdered, all of the people who are being robbed, all of the people who are stealing on their taxes, right? You can read about all of those people in the news. And when we talk about the sin of the world, sometimes it makes us feel good, right? Because we say, well, I know that I'm a sinner, but so is Daryl, right? So is Dean. So is Trevor. So is Jim. We're all sinners. And that sometimes makes us feel a little better to know that we're all sinners. But Daryl doesn't have to answer for my sin. And Dean won't have to face God for your sin. You see, when it comes to the gospel, it's very, very personal. I was thinking it this morning, actually. My mind was kind of in a haze, and I did the worst thing you can do if you want to start your day off right. I stepped on the bathroom scales to see how much I weigh. I walked over, and I was rubbing my eyes anyway, and I said, it's a good time to weigh myself. And I stepped on it, and I said, oh, my. Oh, my. Almost 200. And I said, well, that's all right. There's a lot of people in the world that are 200, right? And I can look around here tonight and say, there's probably people in here, and you're just as heavy as I am. And we're all in the same boat when it comes to our weight, and it really doesn't matter, right? But you don't have to go to the doctor and sit in that seat and have her take your blood pressure and say, you need to lose weight, right? I personally have to face my own doctor with my own problem. I personally have to deal with God for my own sin. And you personally have to face God for your sin. You see, tonight, what I'm about to tell you is something that is only fantastic for sinners. If your sin doesn't bother you, you won't find this good news. If you don't think about your sin before God, then what I'm about to tell you will not be a welcome message at all. If you're just going along in your life thinking that everything's okay, you are going to die and you are going into a lost eternity. But if you don't tonight think about your personal sin, what I'm about to tell you will mean nothing. But for the person tonight who realizes they're a sinner, for the person tonight whose sin bothers them, and for the person tonight who would like to have their sin taken away, I have a message for you. What is it? Through this man, the Lord Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Now, I'm going to use that hand gesture more than once tonight. The forgiveness of sins. You say, what does that have to do with forgiveness. I want to tell you tonight, what's being offered to you is not someone to say, to accept your apology and say everything is okay. It's not that kind of a thing. It's not that you're sitting there and you've done something wrong against God and you go and you say, I'm sorry, and God pats you on the head and says, it's okay, I forgive you. And then you do something bad again and you come and you say, I'm sorry. And God says, it's okay, I forgive you. And you have to do that every day and every hour for the rest of your life. That's not the forgiveness that God is offering you. In order to understand this forgiveness, we have to look at sin for what it really is. Sin is a bondage. Sin is like being shackled in prison. That's what it means, the idea of being in bondage. So that sin has you tied, won't let you go. So that every time you try to escape sin and have a clear conscience, it keeps sucking you back in, tied by your sin. You see, maybe you've experienced that in your own life, right? You do something, you've done something, and it still bothers you tonight. And you wish somehow I could get rid of this guilty conscience. I always think about it. Well, I might go to work and I'm okay, but then when I stop and think, it's right there all the time, right? And when those men are preaching the gospel and they tell me that I'm going to have to meet God, the first thing I think of is that sin. It's got me bound in my conscience so that I can't break free. But it also could have you bound so that you can't stop sinning, right? Because sin is shackles and bondage. And what God wants to do for you tonight is not just make you feel good. He wants to release you from the bondage of sin. He wants to release you from the responsibility for your sin. He wants to release you from a guilty conscience because of sin. That's why I'm using this hand gesture. He wants to take you who are captive and bound in sin and release you one time and for all time. That's the beauty of this message. If there's someone here tonight with a conscience that's bothering them because of sin, through this man is preached unto you the complete release and forgiveness from sin. That's the best news in the world, by the way. There is no better news in all of this world than that Christ Jesus can release you from every single sin. I won't ask you any questions, but I want you to think. How many of us have been told that if we do good things, then God will be happy with us and take us to heaven? If you go to church, if you are good with the law, if you're good to your neighbor, if you stop and help someone with a flat tire, if you do all those good things, then God will look at you and say, I'm happy with that, and you can come to heaven. That is a lovely thought, isn't it? But it's not in the Bible. It's not a part of God's word, as we've been hearing, God's word. God's word does not tell us anywhere that if we do good, we go to heaven. No. God's word tells us that even one sin is enough to keep us out of heaven forever. That one sin is enough to take us down to hell for eternity. One sin. And when we think about the thousands of sins that we have committed, the lies that we have told, the things that we have thought, all of the different things you may have stolen. Perhaps you've done some very, very bad things. Think about all of those things and the fact that God has disqualified you from heaven even for one of them. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if you could have all of them forgiven? All of them. Through this man, you can have all of them forgiven. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Now again, I'm not going to ask you to speak out loud, but how many of us have been told that our preacher or our pastor or our priest can forgive our sins? There may be some people here tonight, and that's what we've been taught, right? Now that would be okay. I think that would be embarrassing, to be honest. If I had to go to the leader of a church group and tell him all my sins, to me that would be embarrassing. But God already knows all my sins. So I don't have to tell him all my sins. And the Bible doesn't tell us about anything about a priest or a pastor forgiving our sins. In fact, the Bible tells us God is the only one who can forgive sins. According to Mark chapter 2, everyone said and everyone knew who can forgive sins but only God. God only. And they knew that. And I'm here to tell you tonight that you could come here night after night. We love seeing you come. But you're never going to find the man standing up here telling you that he can forgive you on behalf of God. Why? Because I'm not the man who can do it. There's no man in here. There's no man on Prince Edward Island. There's no man living in this world right now tonight who can forgive sins. But this man can forgive sins. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. How can he forgive your sins? How can he forgive my sins? I know I'm going slow, but I want us to get it. How is it possible to have my sins forgiven? Does God simply forget about my sins when I say I'm sorry? No. God doesn't say that I'll forget about your sins. Does God take your sins and hide them somewhere so that he doesn't see them? No. God's not hiding anything. You see, in order for us to have our sins forgiven, to be released from our sins, somebody has to pay the price for sins. Now, if I were, I don't have my wallet on me. Nobody carries cash anymore, hardly, right? We all pay by credit card or Apple Pay. That's the good one, right? You better hope your phone is charged if you go to use Apple Pay, right? You better hope that you have your card on you if you go to tap it. But it used to be when I was younger, every time I would get a paycheck, I would cash that check and I would take it and I'd fold it in my little leather wallet from Jerry Doucette, Me Fix, and I would put it in my pocket, and everywhere I go, I would take out my cash, right? Take out the cash. So, I have a Canadian $20 bill, and I'm buying Poppin' Chips and a package of gum. And they tell me it's $9, and I give them a 20 in Canadian dollars. Do they accept that? Yeah, they do. Why? Because that's the currency in our country. They will take that. They'll give me change, I hope. But it's that currency that's accepted as payment in our country, right? Now, let me go into the same store and go up to the counter and have the pop and the chips and the package of gum, and let me try and give them Monopoly money. Have you ever seen Monopoly money? Played the game? It's fake. It's pretend, right? But it still looks like money, and I could take it out of my wallet and say, here's a $20 in Monopoly money. Do they accept it? No, they don't accept it, right? Because that's not the currency that is used to pay for things in Canada. It has to be Canadian cash. Well, we try to do the same thing sometimes when it comes to paying God for sin, right? We have a currency that we think is acceptable. Our currency might be going to church, and we say, God, will you accept this payment for sin? And he says, no, going to church is not the currency that I accept for payment for sin. Won't do. And then we do our good works, or we say our prayers. That's a big one, right? Saying your prayers is and telling God, God, will you accept these prayers as a payment for sin? And God says, no, I don't accept prayers as a payment for sin. That's not the currency that I accept for sin. Then we stand back and we say, well, if God doesn't accept my church going, and God doesn't accept my prayers, and God doesn't accept my works, and God doesn't accept Canadian cash, what does he accept for sin? The blood of Jesus Christ. So that when the Lord Jesus died on the cross with a currency that we could never pay, he's totally paid God for sin. You see, that's why when we take out our prayers and say, God, please accept my prayers, it's like taking Monopoly money to the store. Doesn't work. But Jesus Christ's death on the cross has completely paid the price in God's currency. That's why I can be saved. That's why I can be released from sin. Because the price that was paid is the blood of Jesus Christ alone. But that wasn't the end of him, was it? Did you know tonight, I just got back from a conference on the west coast of the United States in a larger city, and I was driving, and at least four times I saw a billboard that said this, "Beyond any reasonable doubt, Jesus Christ is alive today." I read it the first time and I said, that's an interesting way to say it. When I read the second time, I said, I wonder if people reading that sign really stop to think that Jesus Christ is alive today. The man who died on the cross, according to the Bible, and the many witnesses who saw him, is not dead anymore. He's living. He was dead, and now he's alive forever. That's the man now. The man who died and paid God the price for sin. The man who was buried in the grave and rose again is the man that I'm preaching to you from the Bible will release you from all your sins. Now, with 4 minutes left, I will ask a question for you to think. Would you like to be forgiven from all your sins? Sometimes we don't think about just what we want, do we? Maybe you love your sin. Maybe your sins don't bother you like they should. Maybe you know that if I were released from sin, then my life would change, and I don't want my life to change. I tell you this, according to the Bible, you either get released from sin by the Lord Jesus Christ in this lifetime, or you remain in bondage to sin for all eternity. But if there's someone who would like to have the forgiveness of sins, what does the Bible tell us? Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And it says, and by him. Now here's how you can receive it. By him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. You know what that's saying? It is saying the law of Moses, the Old Testament of the Bible, doing good, doing the law, doing, could never make a person right with God. But the Lord Jesus dying on the cross, the moment I believe in him, I'm right with God. That very moment. So that you don't have to get up out of your chair to be released from sins. You can believe on him tonight and have this forgiveness. You don't have to come back tomorrow night. Come back tomorrow night. I'm not. I said that twice, that you don't have to come back. I want you to come back. But you can be saved before then. You can have forgiveness before that. Because forgiveness doesn't require you to physically pass an exam. Forgiveness requires you to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus. And he gives it freely. Through this man, we are told, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified. The word justified really means to be declared right with God. So that you come into this room tonight, our brother read there in Luke chapter 18 about those two men, the Pharisee and the publican. Both of them went into the temple on this road. I know this is not the road to the temple, but they both went into the temple and they were both heading toward hell. Why? Because neither one of them were right with God. Neither one of them had their sins forgiven. But in that temple, that publican, as we've been hearing, cried a simple little cry. What was it? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord Jesus says, the moment he did that, he left the temple on this road. He said it. He went down to his house justified. That is, he went down to his house right with God. So we are told, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness, the release from sins, and all that believe are justified, made right with God. The only way that you can be made right with God. Let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the Lord Jesus. We're thankful for the cross, but we're thankful especially for the resurrection tonight. We're thankful that when he died on the cross, he satisfied thee. And when he was risen from the dead, it was a declaration of the satisfaction of God. We're thankful that he is alive. We look to thee, Father, now to bless us as we consider the words that we've been hearing about the importance of the word of God forever settled in heaven, about the acceptable words and the words of truth, about the man who cried to be merciful to me, a sinner, and about this faithful saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. May there be someone tonight respond to the word of God. Trust the Lord Jesus, for we know that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.